Hello, gardeners, farmers, compost enthusiasts, and growers. Welcome to The Healthy Garden, the show where soil is important and growing a healthier world is job one. Hola, gardening friends. It's The Healthy Garden Podcast, episode number 71, Organic is in Trouble. So my wife and I just returned from a two-week run up into the Bay Area, and the trip was up there to go to the San Francisco Bay Flower and Garden Show, a couple of tabling events, also to check in with customers out there on the road and buyers at nurseries. From Carmel to Santa Rosa, Oakland, Sacramento, we hit all of the spots. It was an amazing trip. We cut a wide swath into NorCal. I shook a bunch of hands, spoke to hundreds of gardeners, and came back from that trip very concerned for the state of organic. No, that's not our 51st state. If you've ever read any of my stuff or listened to our stuff, you know that I believe that most of what is organic is complete snake oil. The word organic today means nothing. The intention of organic means nothing. And the execution of agriculture, processed food, gardening products, and anything else labeled as organic means nothing. And that is sad because I remember when the organic revolution was taking off in America. Here I am thinking about that wonderful time. I knew all about it because I was an eco-landscaper in Los Angeles trying to bring my clients natural and holistic landscapes that were safer and healthier while also being beautiful and natural. This was back in the 90s, and organic wasn't even a thing yet in America. It was already well established in Europe, but here in the U.S., we are just starting to look at organic agriculture and starting to form what was to become the NOP, or the National Organic Program, that would address all things organic in this country. I'm not going to do a historical here, but this is where the problem with the modern understanding of organic began. The Organic Foods Production Act of 1990, which started the organic ball rolling, was passed as part of a larger bill, and this happens all the time, and this is one of the things that really sucks about our Congress. It was passed as a larger bill called the Food, Agriculture, Conservation, and Trade Act of 1990. That bill gave the USDA jurisdiction over organic and to create a national program to oversee everything that's organic. As with many laws, the original version that was introduced by Senator Patrick Leahy, I hope that's how you say his name, I remember him, but I forget how you pronounce his name, from Vermont, got watered down and became the USDA organic program that exists today. What we have today is what I saw on my trip up north. We have a confused, lackluster organic program that has created confusion, mistrust, and outright fraud in terms of what organic actually is. During the early days of the organic revolution, excitement filled the air. We were finally going to have rules and codes and laws that defined and protected the intention and integrity of organic food and products. We were going to build a new organic economy that was based on real organic food production and agricultural standards. The world was abuzz with organic and organics, and new farms, businesses, and manufacturers were popping up all over to jump on the new organic bandwagon. By the time we hit 2002 and had an actual organic, in quotes, program with laws, regulations, and governing boards, the organic industry had already left the station and had become a small, niche piece of the economy that was doing business in the millions. Today, it is an economic monster that is globally worth hundreds of billions of dollars. It is no longer niche. It is no longer a revolution. It is just another economic sector controlled by huge global corporations, lobbyists, and governmental oversight that lost its organic way a long time ago. That brings us to today.
this year's San Francisco Bay Flower and Garden Show, we had a booth right next to us that was a CSA for Community Supported Agriculture. So they sell baskets of food for their local communities that were grown from local farmers. I love their name and their logo and the great people working the booth, but I couldn't help but think about how organic their farmers are. I asked them how many separate farms supplied to them, and they said many that were along the coast of California all the way down. I also asked how the farmers grew the soil and how they made sure it was organic. They couldn't answer that directly, and the many separate farms told me that it was difficult to supervise. Not only that, but do the people making the decisions in the company even know how to grow the soil without any chemicals or really organic? Are they using compost and compost teas with real organic inputs? Or are they using quote-unquote organic soil products and quote-unquote organic pesticides? We have no idea. If you want to grow truly organic, go to MalibuCompost.com to get your Booze Blend Biodynamic Compost today.
I don't see the organic market growing the way it was a few years back. Back in the late 90s, the demand for organic in the United States was 1% to 2%. Today, it's around 6% in the EU. It's about 11%. And that may sound like a lot, but it's not. In a recent study on eating organic, the results really tell the bigger picture. Only 6% of Americans eat organic all the time. I'm one of them. While 15% never eat organic and 45% say that they don't eat organic much. That's 60% of those surveyed who really aren't interested in organic food or products. They added that 34% of the population eat some organic. Those are not whopping testimonial percentages for organic food or food products. And this is what I've also been seeing in the subsector of organic, the lawn and garden market. I am not seeing gardeners who really care about organic or who care that the products that they are buying for their gardens that are labeled organic are not really organic at all. At the Flower and Garden Show in San Francisco, it was rare to have a person who stopped by our booth who was interested in organic, and even rarer to meet a gardener who grew everything organically. I thought this was bizarre, considering that I was just outside San Francisco in a place that 10 to 15 years ago was one of the meccas of the organic revolution. I don't know what happened. Well, I do know what happened. I'm going to tell you in a minute. And then I went into some nurseries in San Jose to look for a new nursery to carry our real organic farm-made and biodynamic line of soils, because the store who carried us up there for 15 years closed because its owner passed away. One of the buyers, I'm not going to name the store or her, and I'd love to call her up, but I'm not going to. When I asked her what her premium real organic products were that they were carrying for the 100% organic gardener or the 90% organic gardener, she looked at me and said, "Nobody cares. We have the organic products that every other independent nursery is carrying." Wow. Nobody cares. I care. I think that's a big part of the problem, even for the alleged gardening experts and nursery buyers, is that most people really have no idea what organic is. This translates all the way down into the gardeners and growers everywhere buying organic lawn and garden products in spite of not knowing or trusting that they are really organic. I have heard that over and over in my organic gardening and soil health classes and talks over and over again. People do not know And they are just trusting the marketing that organic is good when there are very few real organic products out there to be had. I don't think that this is a good testimonial for organic, and it is one of the big reasons that I think the organic food and products industries is in trouble. The messaging of the organic industry is way off, and the regulations that surround organic and organic farming and food production have not been clearly defined. People do not know why they are paying more for organic. They do not know the environmental and health benefits of organic. When I have questioned my classes, most people say that they think organic is healthier, better, safer, but when pressed, they don't really know. Uncertainty in the organic market space is not good for any of us. We should know whether organic is good, better, or not. We shouldn't have to guess. I think that a big part of this, when I said I don't know what the reason is, I do know what the reason is. I gave you the one reason, and that is governmental guidance has been inappropriate. Now we have the corporate takeover, which I talked about in the first segment, in this $180 billion plus market space. I think that organic uncertainty today begins with them. Let's start with Amazon. Amazon bought Whole Foods for $14 billion. It was the biggest acquisition that the e-commerce and cloud computing giant had ever made. What Amazon has done so far, in my view, is they have corporatized the store. And I've been a Whole Foods shopper and still am to some extent, but not really as much. I really find myself growing more food at home. I go to a local market that has all organic produce and all locally sourced. And we go to a local farmer's market. Because what I've seen Amazon do is centralize their buying and their operations, and their stores have less and less and less organic products on them, and more and more and more of their 365 label products, which most of them, if you look, aren't organic. I feel like we've had this big bait and switch in that industry. And the other thing that I see is, you see large organic companies that have become just regular old players in the organic industry. They're part of the commerce, right? They are selling their, and you know all the brands, they're all out there. They've all become giant. You know, Nature's Path, Annie's, all these guys that you see everywhere in the organic sector. All those guys are now, they're happy with the Whole Foods buyout by Amazon because they're part of the global corporate play game. And what that means is the little guys are brushed aside, where the big guys who can make that can make the quota, can get handled the orders that are coming through this large demand that Whole Foods is creating, is now edging what used to make them unique and interesting and a great company, just becoming another Walmart. You know, they're whole mart now. You know, they're really not looking out for the organic guy anymore. And they don't really have a lot of products that I can buy. And the other thing I'll tell you too is when I go into our local Whole Foods, I'm seeing most of the produce there is grown in Mexico. I'm not seeing mostly American products, you know, or American produce. I'm seeing a lot of stuff that has international logos on it. And I'm seeing the fact that we are not supporting local organic agriculture, real organic agriculture, in my local Whole Foods. So I become less and less and less of a shopper there. The other thing that's happened to the industry on a global scale is we had a huge increase of people that were buying plants and buying stuff at the local nurseries during COVID. So during the lockdowns, people had nothing to do. Nurseries were deemed as essential businesses, so people could go call them up, pull up to the little shopping area, and somebody would come out and bring you your stuff. A lot of younger gardeners, you know, started gardening then, which is good. But what happened is we have a whole group of people who are uneducated in terms of gardening and especially in terms of organics. So just like in the whole food scheme of things, what the big distributors have done since COVID is they've taken the quote organic products, and I mean quote organic products, and have really put them at the forefront. And people don't know, because I ask them in my class, whether those things are really organic or not organic. And those products have taken over a much larger sector of the market space. So it's very interesting to me that people don't really know what organic is. A lot of people, because of the distance that's created from these large corporate takeovers and this corporate mentality, it's much colder. It's not vibrant. It's not alive like the original organic revolution was. And you have all these people on social media, on Facebook and Instagram. I see them all. They're all gardening experts, and they're all gardening sites with gardeners who are touting to be organic, but they don't use real organic products. And what they're touting is they're part of the corporate exposure. They're sponsored. So you have sponsored people. So what's happened, it's filtered down so that all of a sudden this great organic revolution that began in America in the 90s and in Europe in the 70s has now become this vanilla, big box, big business, big chem, big ag, nothing. It's a big nothing burger. You know, as Costanza would say, it's a giant matzo ball hanging out there of nothing. And that's the problem. There's no passion. I go into most nurseries. I go into so many stores, and I'm looking for the passion. I go into Whole Foods, corporate checkout, thank you, goodbye. Do you want 4 bags? Did you? How many bags did you use? It's not about the excitement of, oh, wow, that's a great product. Oh, that's a fantastic product. Did you see this? Nobody knows. They have no idea. Same thing at the nursery. Well, it says organic on the bag. Well, hey, I'll leave you with this nursery kid or nursery buyer. Is that chicken manure in that bag organic?
If you are growing your own food at home and are not sure what ingredients to stay clear of and why, and if you find yourself confused about this whole organic industry, read the book 100 Years of Deception, Why Gardening Must Change. You will learn more than about 98% of the people out there and can learn what you need to truly grow the healthy garden of your dreams. Go to Amazon.com and get the book, 100 Years of Deception, Why Gardening Must Change, today.
To answer my exit question from segment number 2, I know that the chicken manure isn't organic. It didn't come from organic eating happy little chickens. Why don't the cashiers or the soil yard guys or the assistant managers or the buyers of the nurseries know that? They need to know that. Everybody buying organic stuff needs to know that. Do I think organic is better? Yes. But I know real organic is the answer. Not regenerative, not no-till, but I'm a no-till farmer. I know this because I've had firsthand health experience that gave and gives credence to my eating and growing only real organic food. I trust the study. There's a French study of over 70,000 adults that showed that those eating all or predominantly organic had 25% less incidence of cancer than those who don't rarely or never eat organic. I also know that because I am a real organic farmer who's in the farming and gardening business, that I know that less than 1% of the organic market is really organic. Organic farmers use non-organic inputs like chicken manure from conventional chicken operations in organic farming because the government allows them to. You put that in your garden, gardeners, in the bags, in the fertilizers. Look for it. Poultry litter, chicken manure, dehydrolyzed chicken waste. You put that in when you buy these products. Or when you see composted food waste that is not organic in the lawn and garden products. They may be composting that food waste, which is good, but that doesn't mean it should go into organic products and labeled as OIMs or organic input material by the different agricultural certifiers. This is the real problem with organic. The other problem we're seeing and hearing from gardeners that we heard at the Flower and Garden Show, because we are in an economic decline right now. We are still in an inflationary period. We are still struggling with global economies that are destroying our economy and unsound practices economically from our government. We hear from gardeners that it's expensive, or it's perceived as more expensive. Same thing in the grocery market. We had a decline for the first time ever in sales of certain organic products in the market segment last year. The truth of the matter is, if we were getting real healthy organic food, I know from our diet, you eat less because you're eating clean, safe, unprocessed food that is healthier for you, and it actually fills you, gives you nourishment, gives you what you need, and you're not wasting your dinner time, lunchtime, breakfast on wasted calories of non-food. And then all this plant food stuff, great. Plant food diets, plant-based diet, plant. Thank you, Bill Gates. Well, hey, is that plant-based diet real organic? Or is it toxic plant-based food? I know this because I use less compost when I use real organic compost that's finished in my garden and out on the farms. When I'm using stuff that's not full of wood that needs to be broken down and other fillers or green waste fillers that have toxins, it goes to work right away in my garden and on the farms that we work on. Just like it does in my body when I get good, nutritious food that's real organic in my gut. It goes to work right away. It's the same reason that real organic farmers don't need fertilizers, pesticides, or herbicides. But that goes against all of the scientific agricultural reasoning of the last century. I'm telling you guys, the science is wrong. We don't need fertilizer if we're using real organic compost and real organic inputs. And we don't need pesticides. What we need is clear organic messaging from the certifiers that only allows real organic food production and keeps chemicals, synthetics, GMOs, and conventional ag byproducts out of organic farming. Did you know that there's a bill right now proposing legal immunity for pesticide manufacturers in Iowa? The Senate Appropriations Committee approved a bill Tuesday adding legal protections for pesticide manufacturers over failure to adequately warn consumers about the potential health risk associated with their products. Senate study bill, 3188, would provide civil liability defense to pesticide manufacturers in lawsuits over adverse health impacts of products that meet U.S. Environmental Protection Agency labeling requirements. These liability protections, here you go, listen to this, guys. The liability protections do not apply to state-owned companies like Syngenta, which is owned by China, which is owned by ChemChina. But the legislation, which is supported by Bayer, the manufacturer of Roundup, a pesticide linked with development of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, they are pushing this bill. And Brad Epperle, speaking on behalf of Bayer in a subcommittee meeting last Monday, said the company is not able to make additional warnings outside of the EPA regulations and current law. He said the bill would prevent lawsuits and made on unproven basis securing farmers' use of certain chemical tools. They want to use Roundup because they use it as a desiccant. That's what's in your wheat. That's what's in your bread. They want to use poison to grow, to stiffen up the wheat and make a big harvest, or use it because they need to be able to use it on Roundup ready crops. So Mr. Epperle finishes in addressing the subcommittee with, there's no regulatory body in the entire world who finds this carcinogenic. Speaking of Roundup, right? He says the Environmental Protection Agency found that it is not likely glyphosate is carcinogenic, but in 2022, a U.S. appeals court ordered the agency to reconsider those findings. Bayer, as well as agriculture organizations like the Iowa Soybean Association, GMO, Iowa Corn Growers Association, GMO, were registered in support of the bill. So, in spite of the EPA findings and U.S. Food and Drug Administration approval, there are still studies showing links between glyphosate products and increased rates of cancer. In March, Senator Bill Dotzler, a Democrat from Waterloo, Iowa, criticized Republican lawmakers for bringing back the measure, pointing to the support of large agribusinesses for the measure. So Dotzler said that despite the EPA findings, that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approval of using glyphosate, there are still studies showing links between glyphosate products and increased rates of cancer. So how does this insanity like this keep on going and going and going? It's called lobbying, everybody. And you have to know about this. Have you ever heard of Crop Life America? That group represents the developers, manufacturers, formulators, and distributors of plant science solutions for agriculture and pest management in the United States. Crop Life America's member companies, like BASF, started the whole chemical revolution, Bayer Crop Science, Corteva Agriscience, Sumitomo Chemical, and Syngenta produce, sell, and distribute virtually all the necessary and vital organic and non-organic pesticide and biotechnology products used by American farmers. So, where do you think the money is coming from to keep this argument going and to keep pesticide and herbicide sprayed products sold to you at the nursery and foods at the market? The mission of Crop Life America is to help ensure growers and consumers have the technologies they need to protect crops, communities, and ecosystems from the threat of pests, weeds, and diseases in an environmentally sustainable way. And if you believe that, my old Prius with the surf racks on it has gold bars under the battery, and I'm selling it for $47,000. Email me if you'd like to buy it. So What's the answer here? The answer here is this. We have to quit taking the easy way out as a society, especially as gardeners. And if you're involved in the farming, gardening, growing, nursery industry, if you're a gardening expert, if you're a farming expert, if you are someone who touts organic, then you have to know if the organic product lines and food and things that you're talking about growing with are really organic. If you are a garden influencer or an expert, you need to know if the products that you are being paid or sponsored to hawk are really organic. If we, the consumers, buyers, and influencers, don't make the government and the corporations accountable when it comes to organic, then who is going to? No one. That's who. And that's why I think organic is in trouble.
That concludes this episode of the Healthy Garden Podcast. Please post your questions on the Healthy Garden Podcast pages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Join us next week to learn more about how you can free yourself from the chemical and synthetic trap that's been set to keep you from growing a true organic and healthy garden. Until then, happy and healthy gardening.